Well, good morning, Grace Bible Fellowship. It is really good to be here this morning. I am really looking forward to getting into these couple of verses in Galatians. Last week, you might recall, we went through something else. We weren't in Galatians. We went through the feasts. But the week before, we were in Galatians verses 13 through 15. We were talking about our freedom expressed in love for one another, weren't we? Verses 13 through 15, Paul writes, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another." So Paul here is talking about the freedom that we have in Christ, not expressed in ways which we can take advantage of our brothers and sisters, not expressed in ways with which we get what we want at the expense of the needs of our brothers and sisters, but our freedom used in a way that expresses our love to our brothers and sisters. And Paul's going to unpack a little bit about what that means this morning in verses 16 through 18. What his point is that freedom expressed in love, the way that happens is when we live by the Spirit instead of by the flesh. So we have this freedom, and we can either use it for fleshly purposes, which would not be expressing love via our freedom, or we can use it for spiritly purposes, and that would be expressing our freedom in love. So, I want to make two things clear before we get going here. One, Paul is not talking to unbelievers here. Paul's not talking to unbelievers. He's clarifying the nature of true freedom. And if true freedom happens in the Spirit, he can't be talking to unbelievers. So, brothers and sisters here at Grace, Paul's talking to us specifically. Are you with me on that one? And the second thing here is, when we're talking about Spirit and flesh, I want to take us briefly back to the Garden of Eden. I want us to get in our minds what we're talking about when we say the things of the flesh, the things of the Spirit, when we talk about how we act towards one another based in the flesh, or how we act towards one another based in Spirit. So, when God created Adam and Eve, they were perfect. They were sinless. They had a very amazing personal relationship with God, and they didn't experience sin. However, Adam and Eve were cruelly deceived, weren't they? And when they took that fruit and ate, which was a direct disobedient act towards God, what they did is they plunged all of humankind into sinfulness. And when Paul talks about acting, you know, in the flesh, Paul is talking about acting as we are in Adam, sinners. Okay? So when we hear this in the flesh, or we're going to hear this later on when he talks about the Spirit and the flesh being at war, flesh is referring to who we are in Adam as sinful, fallen human beings. And in the Spirit is who we are wrapped in the righteousness of Christ, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see this morning those two things are absolutely at odds with each other for us as believers right now. So let's pray, let's read the verses, and let's get started. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, we need your Spirit to unpack these truths for us. Father, these are words that beat against our mindless ears, Father, without your Spirit impressing them on our hearts. I pray this morning that you would change us and move us to be like you, that you would help us to walk in the Spirit and put to death the deeds of the flesh. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. So, verses 16 through 18 are what we're going to look at this morning. Let's read those real quick. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So, Paul is telling us to walk by the Spirit. He's going to give us three reasons to do just that. He's also going to, via the Greek language that he uses, clue us into what he means by walk by the Spirit, and I will clue you in on that. The word here is referring to something that we need to submit to on a day-to-day basis. Walk in the Spirit doesn't mean, you know, when you feel like getting spiritual, get spiritual, whatever that means. Walk by the Spirit is an intentional, everyday submission to the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. So, when he's saying to walk by the Spirit, he's talking about something intentional. He's talking about something every day, day in, day out. And he's talking about something that we actively do. See, there's an imperative and a promise in verse 16, isn't there? He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. That is a command. That's an imperative. He's telling us to walk in the Spirit. What's the promise? The promise is that in walking by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, let's unpack this a little bit. There's a tension here, isn't there? Because all the way through Galatians, we've been talking about how works are meaningless. It's all about Christ. It's all about the cross. We can't do anything to be right with God. We can't do anything in and of ourselves. We need the work of the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to apply Christ's righteousness to us. And now Paul is saying, walk by the Spirit. Galatians, walk by the Spirit. So there's this healthy tension here between us needing the aid of the Spirit to obey the commands of Scripture. Us needing the aid of the Spirit to have our righteous standing before God. But us also needing to actively follow and obey the Word of God. It's not as if us saying we need the help of the Spirit absolves us from then doing anything. It's not as if we need to sit down and just fold our arms and shut up and the Holy Spirit will do what He wants to do with us when He wants to and we're golden. There is a healthy tension there. Both are true. We do need to obey the imperatives of Scripture and we need the Holy Spirit to allow us to do that. Amen? So Paul is saying to walk by the Spirit. He's telling us to obey the Spirit, to submit to the Spirit's guiding in our lives every day, day in and day out. Now, the three reasons that we are to do this, I'm going to tell them to you and then we're going to go over them. Reason number one, walking by the Spirit allows us to conquer the desires of the flesh. Walking by the Spirit allows us to conquer the desires of the flesh. Don't freak out if you don't get these. I will say them again as we go through them. Reason number two. We need to walk by the Spirit because we are in the middle of a fierce war. We are going to hit that point hard and heavy today. That is our main drive today. We need to walk by the Spirit because we are in the middle of a fierce war. And then the third point, we need to walk by the Spirit to be free from the law. So, verse 16, Paul says, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So remember, desires of the flesh, this is our desires as fallen sinful humans through Adam. Through Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden. What might some of those desires be for you? And this is completely personal. It's completely dependent on who you are. We all know the things that we struggle with. All of us know these things. And we need to walk by the Spirit to conquer those desires. In Thomas Schreiner's commentary on Galatians, he says that slavery consists in capitulating to the desires of the flesh, while freedom comes from yielding to the Holy Spirit. That's an amazing sentence, isn't it? What have we been going over and over and over and over again in Galatians? Sons or slaves, right? Galatians. Sons or slaves? We've asked that probably, you know, at least every other week, I would say. Sons or slaves? Are you living as sons? Are you living as freed sons in Christ? Or are you living as slaves under sin? And this is what Paul is telling us. In order to live as sons, you need to walk by the Spirit. Slavery consists in capitulating to the desires of the flesh. Based on verse 16, what's the best way to do that? Stop walking by the Holy Spirit. Stop submitting day in and day out to the guidance, to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Just live as you want to. You will capitulate to your fleshly desires and you'll be living as slaves. Now, how do we submit to the Holy Spirit on a daily basis? How are we doing that? We're not just sitting around waiting for it to happen, I hope. You know, as a kid, submitting to your parents is not something you wait around for it to happen. It's something that you do intentionally for fear of a fate worse than death. Submitting to the Holy Spirit is not something that we sit around and wait to happen. It's not going to. We need to be in the Bible. Why? So that we can look good, so that our Bible can have creases in it, so that when we do this, it opens to whatever we've been reading the most. We can point and say, hey, I've obviously been in there because it opens to Galatians. Well, you're a genius, Zach. You've been preaching from Galatians, so it's like this all the time. Of course, it's going to open to Galatians. Why do we need to be in the Bible? Because this is how God communicates with His children. This has all of the scripture that God spoke through the authors to us. This is God's letter to us telling us who He is and what He wants. Telling us who we are in relationship to Him. Telling us what He's done to change our destiny. This is God's Word. And ask yourself how easy it is to submit to your parents when you don't listen to a word that they say. One word, impossible. You cannot submit to the Spirit if you're not reading the Bible. Plain and simple. Are we in prayer? Are we in constant communion to God? The Bible is not our only method of communion with God. It is a very important one, but we have the amazing ability, brothers and sisters, to go directly before the throne and speak to God. Have you ever thought about that? How important is the President of the United States to the runnings of, insert jokes here, I get it, it's all right, but how important, theoretically, is the President of the United States to running our country? He's important. How important is the Senate? How important is the Congress? Okay, it goes up from there. Can you get the president on the phone? Just anyone, anytime you want to, just call him up and say, hey dude, I need to talk about your website or, you know, whatever you have an issue about. No, you can't. We can go directly before the Creator of the universe. Directly before our Heavenly Father. Any time. Anywhere. With any concern. And He is faithful to listen. Have you ever stopped and thought about that amazing reality? If we aren't in Scripture, if we're not in prayer, we're not in communion with God. We do not have fellowship with Him. It's like trying to submit to your parents while covering your ears, closing your eyes, and humming loudly. You can't do it. It's not possible. So when Paul tells us to walk by the Spirit so that we can conquer the desires of our flesh. How are we submitting to the Spirit on a day-to-day basis? I can rate myself on a scale of 1 to 10, and it would not be 10. It wouldn't be 9. And I won't go further on down the line, but this is so important for us all. The extent to which we are doing these things consistently, day in and day out, is the extent to which we are able to submit ourselves to the Spirit day in and day out. And to that extent, we put to death the deeds of the flesh. Now, moving to point number 2, why is that so important? Because we are in the middle of a fierce war. Did you know that? Did you know that the Christian life is a knockdown, knockout, drag down, whatever the phrase is, a fierce battle? Did you know that? What does Paul say in verse 17? For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Let's think about what happened when we were saved. Scratch that. Let's step back one step further. When we were unsaved, we were completely enslaved to our flesh. We weren't anything except what we were in Adam, our ultimate father. Fallen. Sinful. cast out of fellowship with God. Remember, Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. I think that was more than a symbol. But it's definitely a symbol for the loss, the ending of that intimate, beautiful relationship, untainted by sin, that Adam and Eve experienced with God. That was us. No fellowship with our Creator, completely enslaved to sin, and we didn't even know it. Okay? We were blinded. We were deafened to anything going on around us other than who we were and what we wanted. We were completely enslaved to sin and didn't even know it. On that glorious day, when God reached out for you, brother, reached out for you, sister, that His Spirit applied the work that Jesus did on the cross to you, to your life. When He wrapped Christ's righteousness around you, when He saved you, you are a new self. You are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. You now have the righteousness of Christ. You're now an heir to God's kingdom. But sin, although it has been completely paid for, has not been completely obliterated yet. We as believers experience both. We have the righteousness of Christ, and we still have our fallen, human, sinful self. And when that happens, we have mixed emotions. We have mixed desires. Have you ever had a sinful desire since being saved? If you're honest, every single person is saying yes. Have you ever had a desire to glorify God? And if you're saved, believe me, you're saying yes. How can that be? Before we're saved, we have no ability to have any desire to glorify God. And once our salvation is made perfect, when we're in heaven, when we're completely renewed, we won't have the ability to have sinful desires. Can I get an amen on that one? I am looking forward to that. But right now, we're in between the has-been and the will-be. And we experience a unique spiritual warfare every day, day in and day out. Believers still have fleshly desires, but we're also indwelled with the Holy Spirit, giving us the desire to be godly. And those two things are completely opposed to each other. I like this analogy. My dad and my brother and I went through this book, The Enemy Within. I should have looked up who wrote that, but you can find it if you search The Enemy Within. There's an analogy that the author uses in there that I really like, of someone who is floating down a stream that has a really strong current. Have you ever been in a river or a stream that you could just float on your back and it's got a really strong current? I have. And when you are floating, you can't really tell that you're moving anywhere. It's got a really strong current and you are moving, but you can't feel it. You can't feel the current. You're just being carried with it. And that's what we were before we're saved. That's what we were in our sinful self. We are being carried along this river of sin, and we didn't even realize what was going on. The moment we're saved, our feet hit the floor. What happens when you're being carried along a stream and you go to stand up? What do you feel instantly? The current. Do you feel that current? Do you feel sin pounding at you? If you do, that's a good sign. Do you know that? That's a good sign. Because if you don't feel it, there's no evidence that you've been changed by the Holy Spirit. Because you aren't experiencing that war. Let me tell you, when you are changed by the Holy Spirit, you will experience that war inside. Now, Paul goes on to say in verse 17, he says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." Now that word "to." This is an interesting little phrase that Paul gives us. And there's not any clear, decisive way that everyone takes this. But the thing that makes the most sense to me is that that word "to" can also be interpreted as "so that." And what we're talking about here, Paul is giving us the reason that the flesh and the spirit stand in opposition of each other. The reason the flesh stands in opposition to the spirit is so that we can't do what we want to do in the spirit. And the reason that the spirit stands in opposition to the flesh is so that we can't do what we want to do in the flesh. So the spirit and the flesh stand in opposition to each other so that we can't do what we want to do. Our sinful nature does not want to see our spiritual desires actualized. And the Holy Spirit has changed us. And we are given the ability, we are given the grace to overcome and overcome our fleshly desires and have those not be actualized. That is the nature of the war that we are in. Walking in the Spirit is not the same thing as coasting along, is it? Let me be perfectly clear, brothers and sisters. There is no neutral position. If any of you have experience driving a stick shift car, you might agree with me that one of the most challenging things to get when learning that is driving up a hill, especially a steep-ish hill, and especially when there's a stop sign right in the middle of that steep-ish hill. What happens if you put that bad boy in neutral? You better hope there's no one behind you is what happens. You have to wrestle with this thing in order to get your car to move forward mostly instead of roll back a lot and then go forward or maybe roll back some more. It's a fight. Now, when you've done it enough times, you get kind of used to it, and it's not as big of a deal anymore. But I'm going to tell you right now, we don't get used to spiritual warfare. There's no getting used to that. It is always that battle. And if we attempt to go in neutral, we go crashing straight backwards. There is no neutral. Now, I know it's true for myself, and I suspect it's true for many of you, that the more we struggle with sin in our life, the easier it is to be discouraged, isn't it? When there's something that we just can't get over, we're struggling, and we're just slipping back, and we cannot overcome it. This is what it seems like to us. It's too hard to bear sometimes, isn't it? And it can be so easy to be discouraged. I want to give you some encouragement. Where you don't feel struggle, that is cause for concern. Struggling with sin does not indicate we aren't good Christians. Struggling with sin does not indicate that we aren't Christians. Struggling with sin indicates we are experiencing the spiritual warfare that comes with being in the already and not yet. In the regenerated and not completely sanctified. Those are some big words, and I'm hoping you still have your definition sheet in your Bible. If not, look them up. It's a good exercise for you. Struggling against sin is part of the Christian life. And it is not cause for depression. I would say to you that if you have gone a length of time without experiencing struggle with sin, that is cause for concern. That to me indicates you're falling back down the hill in neutral and have your eyes closed to it. That is cause for concern. But that struggle is something we know is going to happen, and we know the reasons for it. And that struggle, brothers and sisters, is why we need the Spirit day in and day out. And his third point from verse 18. The third reason to walk by the Spirit is to be free from the law. This kind of wraps it all up. This is what we've been talking about the whole time, isn't it? The law. The difference between the gospel and the law. In verse 18, Paul starts with a very interesting word. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What does that word mean there? You have to read it with the previous verse. He's saying that even though there is a fierce war between the flesh and the spirit going on inside you day in and day out, brother and sister, those who walk with the Spirit triumph over the flesh, ultimately. Why? Because we are freed from slavery under the law. This isn't a war that you aren't going to win. This is a war you will win through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just a matter of time. We have been freed from slavery under the law. Now, I want to caution us. in light of, two weeks ago's passage on the liberty that we have not being used for fleshly desires, not being used to take advantage of our brothers and sisters or to just disregard them altogether and do whatever we want. But that freedom is to be demonstrated in love. When Paul says that we are free from the law, that doesn't mean that we're free to sin. That doesn't mean that we are free to disregard Scripture. Because after all, it's not what we do, it's what Jesus has done. That's not what it means. Do you know what it means? It means that we are freed from sin. We are not free to sin. We are freed from sin. We are freed from the slavery of sin. We are freed from being under the ruling rod of the law. We are freed from that into a life lived out of love for who God is. And that love for who God is expresses itself in how we act towards one another. And how we act based on what God has said in the Scripture. I believe I've used the example of brushing your teeth before. If you are completely convinced that brushing your teeth is the only way to save you from nasty dental fillings, chances are you're going to do that often. You don't need someone to force you to go in and do it every time. It doesn't need to be some discipline thing. But if you are absolutely convinced that that is what's best for you, you just do it. And that's the same thing here. We don't need someone to come along and force us and coerce us into trying to obey something that will never accomplish what we want it to accomplish anymore. The law can't save us. And we don't need to enact that law day in and day out in order to try and earn our salvation, in order to try and use that law to do something it could never do anymore, because we have been freed from the law. And now we can obey God because we want to. We can obey God because we want nothing more than to glorify Him. We want nothing more than to honor Him because of what He's done for us. We're walking by the Spirit because doing that conquers the deeds of the flesh. Because we are in the middle of a fierce war. And because that is how we're freed from the law. And I love that Paul gives us verse 18. You know what verse 18 means to me? There's no room for pessimism. Have you been burdened thinking that you are just not cutting it as a Christian? That you are just not cutting it as one of God's children? Maybe you are afraid to talk to someone because you know that they'll see who you really are. You're afraid to share your testimony because you feel like such a hypocrite. You're afraid to get involved in ministry because you don't feel worthy Paul would ask, were you ever worthy to begin with? Was it ever about being worthy? Was it ever about being good enough? Salvation has never been about that. Because salvation, the gospel, tells us we never were worthy. We are not able to be worthy. And God loved us anyway. God chose us anyway. God sent His Son to pay the penalty for our sins anyway. And Paul tells us here that the battle with which we are facing is a battle that we will have victory through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if that's the case, there is no room for pessimism. There is no room for us to get depressed. There is no room for us to wonder if we're ever going to be good enough. There is no room to be sad that we aren't measuring up with how we perceive everyone around us, is there? We are, each of us, experiencing warfare. And each of us will experience complete victory in God's good timing. So take heart, brothers and sisters. Are you experiencing this warfare? If so, be comforted that you are living as a son and not a slave. And listen to Scripture when it tells you to submit yourself to the Spirit day in and day out. The ushers will come forward. Let's pray. Dear kind Heavenly Father, what amazing words You've given us in Galatians today. I pray that anything that I said that was not from You would be forgotten. That it would just fall away. That Your Spirit would have spoken to each of us today and confronted us with the truths that we need to hear from Your Word, from Your very living, active Word. I pray that You would help us to submit ourselves to Your Spirit day in and day out. That You would help us to do this because we are in the middle of a war. And I pray that You would help us to experience what life is like as a free son, heir to Your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.